Welcome to Take Note. All right, welcome to an episode of Take Note, Rhodes College podcast, and my guest today is Kirkwood Vangeli, who is a member of the class of 2017, and he's here today because he is a Renaissance student, and he has his own business, and he makes films, and we're here largely today to talk about his film that's going to be appearing in the Indie Memphis Film Festival coming up in just a week or so. And November 4th is your film?
November 5th.
5th? That's a Saturday, right?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll talk some more about that in a minute. But welcome to Take Note. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So I guess one of the first things that I would want to know if I were just meeting you is if you could talk a little bit about how you got into skateboarding, because that is your that is the core of your business and also of your film work, and that's a rare talent from someone. I can say that as someone who can barely walk. So talk to me a little bit about how you started skateboarding.
Yeah, so skateboarding came into my life when I was 8 years old, and from there I just kind of fell in love with the act of doing it. I remember the first time I saw somebody skateboarding and they popped an ollie up a curb, and it just seemed like the most magical thing.
What's an ollie?
An ollie is where you smack the tail against the ground and you slide your front foot up and the board comes up with you as you jump.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, so you just jumped up the curb, and I was like, how in the world is that even possible? And I started skating, and then slowly and slowly it became like an obsession. And for a long time, I thought that was what I was going to do as a profession for like the first half of my life, mm-hmm. really. I got sponsored by my local skate shop, and I had like a board sponsor, a shoe sponsor. And then my parents really wanted me to go to college, and I did too, so skateboarding just kind of became like something that I just did, and it wasn't something that I was going to turn into a profession when I went to college. Kind of took the back seat towards like figuring out who I was and like what my place in society would be. And then when I took some courses at Rhodes, I remember taking mm-hmm. history of contemporary art, and it kind of re-sparked this like fire in me it reminded me why I love skateboarding, which is like a strange thing for a lot of people. Like, what's the connection between art and skateboarding?
Well, that's one of the reasons I kind of wanted to talk to you, because I think that is very interesting. I think there's people have a common perception of skateboarding as a athletic thing and a competitive thing, and you might have some of that from your past, but it sounds like you've definitely moved in a different direction with it. So,
yeah.
So it's sort of, but keep talking about what you're saying there.
Oh, well, so I took history of contemporary art, and it reminded me of like all the different ways in which we can view our world. And it was like, basically just, it opened me up to just viewing like the city that I'm in as a playground of infinite possibilities. And I wanted to, after that, take advantage of that creative play. And so the best way that I knew how to do that was through skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, looking back in retrospect, it was always that way when I was skating. It was always re-envisioning the urban environment for like what you can do and how you can like occupy and make use of space. So to communicate that to other people in the skateboard community, we meaning me and a friend of mine named Zach Roberts, did that through film.
Mm-hmm.
We started filming Aesthetics, which was a full-length skate video that we premiered at Crosstown Arts. And in the video, we have individual sections for each skateboarder that's a part of the film. And that is their section, their interpretation of skateboarding in the city of Memphis. That's not the film that's being premiered at Indie Memphis, but that was our first film that we did.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about your film, your Indie Memphis film, and then I definitely want to talk about some other aspects of what you're doing, but what's that about?
So my Indie Memphis film was born out of a project for the Rhodes Institute for Regional Studies. I applied for the Rhodes Institute from the push of Professor Sachs, because I did an independent study with him that was just basically an extension of my History of Contemporary Art class. But in the independent study, I was drawing comparisons and connections with skateboarding more directly than I would have been in any other standard class at Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, so when you say you're drawing comparisons, what are those comparisons?
So the things that I like think about rather regularly are like, what are you communicating through the actions that you're doing? Like, how can you communicate an emotion to an audience? And most of the time when I'm skating, I'm thinking about ways in which I can communicate to the skateboarding community what I'm feeling in that moment. A large part of like skateboarding in general is the capturing that perfect moment, that perfect moment where you're in the air, your style, the way you do a trick is done in such a way that it's exactly the way you think about it in your mind, and you have it on film so that you can show other people. Mm-hmm. So the communicative aspect of skateboarding is one of those like connections that I would think about when studying art history. So I would like look at performance artists like Chris Burden and Vito Acconci, Marina Abramović, and basically study the things that they were focusing on. And then I would think about ways in which I could apply that to my own practice. Mm-hmm. And during all of this, it was basically to inform and to build upon a Watson research proposal, which is what a lot of my work has been leading up to at this point. Mm-hmm. But also, besides just the communicative aspect of skateboarding, I've also, there's another aspect of it, which is doing it for the sake of itself, right? So I don't solely skate for the way it's going to be interpreted or viewed by other people. Mm-hmm. Whether there's a camera or not, I'm still going to be skateboarding every single day. And I think that there's something to be said about the connection between art and skateboarding, in that both acts exist for the sake of themselves, and they don't exist for points or competition or winning or losing. Whether there's 100 skateboarders in a skateboard scene or there's just yourself, it's always about the individual and what's going on inside of them, and basically existing in that space in whatever way inspires you the most. And there's different things that drive different people to skate.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of beauty in the body movement, even, and that sort of thing, just physical beauty that can almost become, you know, artistic, if you will.
Exactly.
And that would apply both to the skater and the movement of the particular trick or whatever. It's kind of a beautiful kind of it's kind of like basketball on wheels. You know,
I appreciate it. Yeah, I relate it to ballet. Like, a lot of people they're like ballet, skateboarding. Those things seem so different, but it's like ballet is like they're graceful, but they're strong and they're balanced, and they don't have a long lifespan. Mm-hmm. And the people that do ballet give themselves to this practice, knowing that it's all going to come to an end and their bodies aren't going to be able to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I see that in skateboarding, too.
Yeah, I never thought about that. There aren't very many. Maybe Tony Hawk, maybe the only one left that's still out there at that age.
Oh, you'd be surprised now, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like the average age of skateboarders has been increasing, but that's for a different reason. That's because the skateboard industry has been changing. Mm-hmm. And the skateboarding industry is something that's a totally different beast to deal with.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's very similar to like the high art industry, in that your brand is what decides your value.
Uh-huh.
It's not about your ability or skill level.
Yeah, and then your popularity and so forth and so on. I apologize because I sidetracked you completely from talking about the movie.
Oh, no, it's okay. I can talk about that all day. Okay. The connection between art and skateboarding.
Okay.
So
well, we can absolutely return to that. It's fascinating. I like the topic. It's interesting to me. So
yeah, I appreciate it. Not everybody finds it interesting.
No, I think it's really interesting. Very, because I knew that was sort of where your interest was, and we'd never talked about it, and I was kind of curious to pick your brain about it. So, but how about the movie?
Back Let's talk about that. Okay, so the documentary that's playing at Indie Memphis Film Festival was made at the Rhodes Institute for Regional Studies. It's a compilation of interviews from a wide range of different types of skateboarders in Memphis. And their interviews, I realized when I was conducting them that they kind of created a narrative of Memphis skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have these interviews overlaid with footage that I had shot over a two-year period of different skateboarding and B-roll clips that I accumulated with my partner, Zach Roberts. So over the summer, it was primarily just kind of, I had a list of questions that I would ask everybody because I was very selfish and I really wanted to get to the bottom of their individual processes in skateboarding. How they learned tricks, what they were motivated by, because all of this, like talking to other people really influences the way that I skate. And I think
that must be a pretty big range of answers you got, I would suspect.
Exactly. I mean, there's no one way of doing it. And so I would, while filming the documentary and while having these conversations with people, I would like take the things that I really liked from the conversations and I'd put them all in this film. And it started having a very clear narrative of like, this is the history of Memphis skateboarding. This is what the connection between Memphis skateboarding and art is. And this is where skateboarding in Memphis is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it fit with the footage that I had in such a clear way that I was really happy with how the unedited version came out. Unfortunately, the film that's being played at Indie Memphis is a little bit shorter, mm-hmm. and there's a couple of things, like little fat that I had to trim off the edges
uh-huh.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to kill a couple of babies, unfortunately. Uh-huh. But the way I describe it to people is it's a window into Memphis skateboard culture. And everyone that I've talked to that's seen it always like has a little bit of a different understanding of what skateboarding means to them. And it's just highlighted in the film.
So, can you assign dates to Memphis skateboard culture? Is it something that, you know, skateboarding started to become popular around a certain time? Or, I mean, because honestly, when I was a kid, I had a skateboard. But, you know, I only rode down the hill in front of my house,
mm-hmm.
lying on my stomach with my face in the front, which was probably not the smartest thing to do, but I wasn't very good about standing on it, so I sat and lay down on it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that counts as part of the culture.
I don't know. I think it does. I think that there's a large group of people that have the similar stories to that. There's like it really depends on who you talk to and
mm-hmm.
what age of the individual you're talking to is, because there's some people that tell you, oh, I remember back when I had a plank of wood and I cut off roller skates and I put them at the end of it.
Yeah.
And that story is very consistent
mm-hmm.
over a bunch of different places that I've been,
yeah.
like LA, Dallas, Memphis. I've had those types of experiences with people. And then if you're like thinking about the dates of Memphis skateboarding, they actually kind of fit the evolution of skateboarding in California.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that it happened first in California and then the wave of change spread to Memphis. But as skateboarding became very popular in the 80s, it had like a rise in the amount of skate parks that were in Memphis. There was it's escaping me right now, but I interview a guy named Jungle Jeff, who's basically seen five generations
uh-huh.
of skateboarders.
Mm-hmm.
And he can tell me, like, skate parks that used to exist here in Memphis, their decline, a new rise in skateboarding and street skateboarding in the 90s, and then a decline when, like, in the late 90s, and then, like, a rebirth. So it's just like a roller coaster that's based off of the skateboarding economy. It's based off of where, like, how much money is in the industry. But you get people like Jungle Jeff who skate for the sake of skateboarding. Whether there is a popularity in skateboarding or not, they're always going to do it.
Yeah.
And so those people can really give you a good insight into how it evolved and how it changed.
Mm-hmm. So also out of this has grown, for you, has grown a company that makes skateboards or designs them.
Designs skateboards and apparel.
Does your films are also connected with that company, right? Could you talk a little more about that?
So when we were filming for Aesthetics, Zach and I, our first skateboard video, I tore a couple tendons in my ankle and I couldn't skate for 3 months. It was like one of the worst summers ever, but I basically just did rehab on my ankle every day for an hour and a half, and I would just sit there, and sometimes I would listen to music, but most of the time it was just me thinking. And I was thinking about what skateboarding means to me and like what I could do in this time period where I can't do the thing that I do every day and what I love and how I express myself. So I go to my business partner now and I tell him, like, we should start a skateboard company, because Zach and I have all of these ideas of things that we want to do. We have projects in mind in terms of filming or photography and creating different things in the city, but we don't have a way of funding that. And so Fluxus grew out of just a basic need for resources so we could do the things that we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. We don't really view it as like a business in the typical sense. The way we kind of went about making it was like an arts coalition of, we're working with local artists that design graphics for boards and they get exposure. We've also paid them, and in exchange, we have these boards that we're selling to the skateboard community, which we've been a part of for years now, and the skateboard community has deep trust in us, and we have deep trust in them to support our company, and we're basically using the money that we make on the creative projects that we come up with. So right now, we've been making a series of montages just on YouTube, filming them with like an HVX camera. And we're working on a full-length skate video similar to Aesthetics that's going to be premiering next spring. We premiered Fluxus Skateboard Co. at Crosstown Arts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
At the premiere of our very first video. Mm-hmm. And the first rider on the team was Adrian Aiken. He's a high school student, and it was particularly important to me to sponsor that individual because I want him to ride a skateboard as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And I don't want any reason for him not to have a skateboard under his feet. And so as the company grows, we're going to be doing more and more things to support the skateboarding community here, because that's what comes first to us. It's not about making money. It's about creative development and supporting our community. Mm-hmm. So what we've also been doing is going to skateboard contests. Zach and I have been judges at skateboard contests. We've donated product, and we're just going to continue to make appearances everywhere so we can grow the brand. This weekend, we're actually going to Little Rock for a skate jam called Canis Bash. Mm-hmm. And we'll be skating and like hanging out. And there's multiple events like that in the upcoming months that we're working on.
I think I ran into you right before fall break, and you were going down to Oxford
for
something of that nature.
We made a new montage in Oxford. They were having a trick or skate jam, mm-hmm. and we all got in costumes and filmed the montage late at night with the skate park illuminated.
So, I thought that was kind of cool for filming purposes.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. It's so much more dynamic than filming in the daytime, because your darkness, you come in a frame in the light, get the trick, and then you're back in darkness. Uh-huh. So there's a lot you can do with that.
Pretty neat. Well, one reason I wanted to talk with you today is because I sort of jokingly said earlier on that you're sort of a Renaissance student, but I mean that because you're the, in many ways, the epitome of what we want a road to student to be. You took something that you had a love for and you found a way to connect that with your classwork, and you've not only done that successfully, but it's led you into, you know, something in film, which maybe you weren't thinking about getting into. And then you've also got a company. You are involved in the Memphis community and contributing to it. So those are all things that, you know, we value in terms of what we can do, you know, what our students can offer to the city. Could you just talk a little bit about the role that Rhodes might have played in that, and how Rhodes fits into that part of some of your decisions that you've made along the way?
Yeah. So, Kenneth Piper conducted an interview for Aesthetics when it first came out, and he had that same question for me. And I answered it kind of tritely, in a way that I was like, Rhodes showed me what I didn't want to do. And I think that...
okay, we're going to erase that.
Yeah, but I realized now, after having, been a part of this community for so long, and now that I'm leaving it and I'm not going to be in the same position that I once was here, I think about all of those, all of the opportunities that have come up for me. And it's not opportunities in the typical sense. These are what groups we offer. We offer X Club. It was really working with all of these great mentors that would basically facilitate my own creativity, mm-hmm. and allow me to extend past what I guess conventional schooling would allow you to do. I've worked so closely with Professor Sachs throughout this whole process, and I've been able to really do things that I wouldn't normally be able to do if I went to a state school. Being able to design my own class where I picked out my own literature, I read my own literature, and then I applied it to my practice. Sometimes I feel super selfish, and because I'm driven by this passion to skate, and I'm given these great opportunities to incorporate that into what I do every day. And I think Rhodes definitely facilitated that in providing me with the mentors that would let me grow. Mm-hmm. Also, the Rhodes Institute for Regional Studies was just a fantastic experience to work with those types of professors. And I think that's what made Rhodes particularly special for me is working with all these really brilliant people that are open to new things. I don't know what it's like at other colleges, so I can't say what Rhodes is different from other places firsthand. But I just being able to work with these professors was great, mm-hmm. and it gave me confidence that I didn't originally have. Mm-hmm. I came into Rhodes thinking I was going to be a lawyer, thinking that's what you were supposed to do. You're supposed to go to a really good liberal arts college, and then you're supposed to go to a grad school. And after you get done with grad school, you're going to take the bar, and you're going to get a lot of money, and that'll be it. And I took classes, and I was good at them, and I excelled at being a lawyer. I was in mock trial, but it wasn't something that I truly wanted to do. And if I went to a different school, I might still be on that path. Mm-hmm. Incredibly unhappy with what I was doing, but still doing it because I'm good at it. I've never had the same energy talking about going into law that I've had talking about what skateboarding means to me and working with artists and working on community projects and working in with the Mellon Foundation on different things that professors are doing. Mm-hmm. I've realized it's important to kind of map out the things in your life that you actually care about. And that sounds so easy, but it's actually something that I had to overcome and that Rhodes helped me to do.
Mm-hmm. Let's just one more time. Your film shows at Indie Memphis, November 5th
at 10:30 a.m.
Where, which location?
It's gonna be at Circuit Playhouse.
Okay.
And it's in Rising Hometown
filmmakers. I saw that on
category.
The schedule. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's about it. Follow me on Instagram at Fluxus Skateboard Co. And watch some of our upcoming montages on YouTube. Just type in Fluxus Skateboard Co. and all the videos will pop up.
Excellent. All right. Thanks again, Kirkwood.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. My pleasure. Don't forget to join us next time for Take Note.